কবে শ্রীচৈতন্য মোরে করিবে দয়া, কবে শ্রীচৈতন্য মোরে করিবে দয়া, কবে আমি পাইব বৈষ্ণব
আত্মীয় লীলা Chapter 2. All glories to Lord Gaurachandra, the life and soul of every living being. He is terror personified to the miscreants and the protector of the devotees. He is the Lord and Master of Anantashesh, Lakshmi Devi, Brahma, and Shiva, and the friend of the poor. He is an ocean of benevolence and the best of all sannyasis. All glories to the Lord and all of his associates. May he shower benedictions upon me, so that my mind may remain in eternal meditation on his lotus feet. The Lord passed that night in the house of Advaita Acharya, relishing unlimited spiritual bliss. He and his loving associates engaged in confidential talks about his transcendental activities. In the morning, after completing his daily morning duties, the Lord sat down with all the Vaishnavas. He said, "I am going to Nilachala, but you should not become despondent because of this. After offering my obeisances to Lord Jagannath, I will return to be amongst you again. Return to your houses and blissfully engage in performing kirtan, for you are my eternal associates and are more dear to me than my own life." The devotees replied, "As you wish, O Lord. No one can make you change your decision. Yet it must be mentioned that at the present time it is unsafe to travel to Orissa. The kingdoms of Bengal and Orissa are on the verge of war. The way to Nilachala is infested with dacoits. Please consider waiting until the situation improves." The Lord said, "Obstacles may be there, but I must go." Advaita Acharya, who could understand the Lord's heart, knew that he was determined to go to Nilachala. Advaita approached the Lord with folded hands and said truthfully to him, "Who can obstruct your path? All hindrances are your slaves, so who has the power to stop you? Now that you have made up your mind to go to Nilachala, any time you can leave will be auspicious." The Lord was pleased to hear the truth spoken so plainly by Advaita, and he acknowledged it by loudly chanting, "Hari, Hari." The Lord set out for Nilachala. His gait was that of a stalking, maddened lion. The devotees ran after him, unable to control their emotions and tears. After a while, the Lord turned to them and spoke sweet words, "Please do not be sad. I will never leave you. Go home now and take shelter of the holy name, and I will return in a few days." He embraced everyone one by one and soaked them with his tears of love. It was a moving scene as the Lord and the devotees cried in each other's arms. Finally, after pacifying and reassuring everyone, the Lord headed south. But the devotees were not to be consoled so easily. As the Lord disappeared from their sight, they fell to the ground crying piteously. Just as the gopis of Vrindavan were thrown into an ocean of endless woe and wept bitterly when Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya experienced intense pain of separation as he set out for Nilachala. The mood of the devotees in Lord Chaitanya's pastime was the same as that of the gopis in Krishna's. Life and death are entirely controlled by Krishna. It makes no difference whether one consumes poison or the elixir of immortality. Everything depends on the desire of Krishna. If he wants someone to die, nothing can save him. And if he wants someone to live, nothing can kill him. The Lord journeyed happily towards Nilachala with Nityananda, Gadadhar, Mukunda, Govinda, Jagadananda, and Brahmananda. Wanting to test his devotees, he asked, "Please tell me frankly if any of you have brought the things necessary for this journey." They replied, No one has the power to act independently, my Lord. Not having your permission, we did not bring anything. The Lord was very pleased with their reply. He then spoke, revealing the significance of this seemingly simple question. He said, You have made me very happy by not bringing anything with you. One can enjoy only what is destined for him. Even if one is in the forest, that which is due to him, through destiny, will come. If Providence wills that someone go without food, then even if he is a prince, he will have to fast. The prince may possess abundant foodstuffs, but if the Lord wills it, he cannot eat. He might suddenly get into a quarrel with someone and out of anger refuse to eat and remain sulking. He might be attacked without warning by high fever, in which case there is no question of eating anything. This all happens by the Lord's sweet will. The entire universe is Lord Krishna's storehouse, filled with grains and foodstuffs. If the Lord desires, we can get food anywhere and everywhere. Lord Chaitanya was teaching everyone the proper attitude towards God. One who takes these instructions to heart becomes perfectly happy in life. One may try very sincerely to do something, but the result of his endeavor depends entirely on the Lord's will. Discussing in this manner, the Lord and his devotees arrived at the village of Atishara. A very saintly personality named Ananta Pandit was living in Atishara. The Lord decided to stay in his residence. The immensely fortunate Ananta Pandit was overwhelmed with divine bliss to have the Lord of Vaikuntha as his guest. He joyfully busied himself preparing to feed the Lord and all the devotees. The Lord sat down with the devotees and relished prasad. He was instructing everyone how to lead the ideal life of a sannyasi as a mendicant begging everything. He spent the whole night discussing Krishna's pastimes with the devotees. The next morning, after blessing Ananta Pandit with his merciful glance, the Lord continued on his journey, constantly chanting the name of Krishna. When the villagers saw the Lord's compassionate moon-like face, which was a soothing balm to all tribulations, they spontaneously began to chant the holy name. Yogis absorbed in meditation find it practically impossible to see the Lord's lotus feet in their hearts. Yet now, even ordinary people saw him in person. The Lord traveled along the banks of the Ganga and arrived at a place known as Chhatrabhoga. Here the Ganga was flowing in 100 separate streams for the benediction and joy of the people. Situated there is a bathing place known as Ambulinga Ghat, where Lord Shiva is present in his linga form, known as Ambulinga, in water. I shall now relate the history behind this form of Lord Shiva. Ages before, Bhagirath had worshipped Ganga Devi, praying to her to descend to the earth. Her waters were the only means to bring his ancestors back to life. When Ganga Devi complied and started flowing on the earth, Lord Shiva pined for her association. Finally, he came to earth himself, and seeing her flowing in Chhatrabhoga, he became overwhelmed with emotion and entered her waters, taking the form of water himself. On seeing Lord Shiva, Ganga Devi began to worship him with great devotion. Lord Shiva knows the depth of Ganga Devi's devotion and attachment to the Lord, and Ganga Devi is aware of Lord Shiva's highly elevated position. By touching Ganga water, Lord Shiva became water, and Ganga Devi offered him prayers with deep reverence. From that time on, the place became famous as Ambulinga Ghat. Chhatrabhoga became an important place of pilgrimage because both Ganga Devi and Lord Shiva are present there. Now its transcendental significance was further enhanced by the footprints of Lord Chaitanya. The Lord approached the pilgrimage site with increasing ecstasy. Roaring the holy names, he fell unconscious. Fortunately, Nityananda Prabhu was there to catch him in his safe embrace. The devotees were loudly chanting the Lord's name. When he regained consciousness, the Lord took everyone to Ambulinga Ghat, where they all enjoyed an exhilarating bath. All of this will later be described in detail by Veda Vyas. The Lord came out of the water with uncontrollable spiritual emotions raging in his heart. He changed into fresh, dry clothes, which soon became soaked with tears of ecstasy. On the land, the Ganga was flowing in 100 streams, and the tears from the Lord's eyes also cascaded down in 100 streams. The astonished devotees could only laugh at this extraordinary phenomenon. The landlord of the village was Ramachandra Khan. Although he was a materialist, he was also a pious man. Otherwise, how could he have met Lord Chaitanya? By some divine arrangement, the Lord went to his house. As soon as he saw the powerful, effulgent form of the Lord, Ramachandra Khan hurriedly got down from his swing, and in great awe he prostrated himself before the Lord. The Lord was still absorbed in love of God and oblivious to everything around him. He was crying profusely, sighing deeply, and falling to the ground. He was chanting, "O Jagannath, O Jagannath." Ramachandra Khan was deeply moved to see such an intense devotional mood. He thought, "There is no way to stop this piteous crying," and himself broke down into tears. Who in the three worlds could remain impassive seeing this tearful encounter? Even a heart of stone would melt at the sight. The Lord calmed himself and inquired from Ramachandra, "Who are you?" Offering prostrated obeisances at the Lord's lotus feet, he spoke with folded hands, "O Lord, I am the servant of your servant." Then the local people spoke up, informing the Lord, "He is the landlord of the entire southern part of this state." The Lord said, "It is nice that you are the chieftain here. Please tell me how I can proceed to Nilachala tomorrow." As the Lord spoke about Nilachala, he was once again overcome by divine ecstasy. Crying out Lord Jagannath's name, he began to weep profusely and fell to the ground. Ramachandra spoke in a concerned voice, "O Lord, I consider it my prime duty to fulfill your every order. The roads are very dangerous at this time. Travel between the two countries has become practically impossible. The inimical kings have placed camouflaged spears along the border, and if the soldiers find even an innocent traveler, they capture and torture him, thinking him to be an enemy spy. The only way I can arrange to send you is secretly. By helping you, I will place myself in great danger, but I do not care. I will certainly carry out your bidding. My Lord, kindly accept me as your servitor and take food in my house along with your associates. I will use everything I possess, money, influence, and men, to take you across the border tonight." The Lord was pleased with Ramachandra and blessed him with his merciful glance. By that one glance, Ramachandra was purified of all material attachments. Then the Lord went to his residence. Ramachandra's house became sanctified, and everyone in the house rejoiced, experiencing the results of their previous pious activities. The Brahmin Ramachandra himself prepared the food with devotion. Those days the Lord ate very little. Always absorbed within himself, he had no time for such things. He ate only for the satisfaction of his devotees. His real food was spiritual mellows. His eating habits had changed since he embarked on this journey to Jagannath Puri. On this journey, the Lord was always absorbed in the mood of separation from Lord Jagannath. Day and night, land and water were just fading images of no consequence to him. He was steeped in meditation within himself, tasting the bliss of love of God. The devotees were always by his side, watching over him and protecting him from external harm. No ordinary mortal is capable of describing the different ecstatic moods exhibited by the Lord. This is possible for Vedavyas alone. Who can understand the character of the Supreme Lord? Who can predict how Krishna will act next? Lord Nityananda knows fully well who is the object of Lord Chaitanya's love, the person for whom he pines so piteously. The Lord of Vaikuntha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, is always engrossed in transcendental exchange of mellows himself. On the one hand, he thinks of himself as Lord Jagannath, and on the other, he yearns for union with Lord Jagannath, in this way bringing the devotees close to him in their concern for his well-being. How is it possible for the living entities to realize the Supreme if he himself does not shower them with his causeless mercy? The Lord sat with Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees who were so dear to him. He ate only a morsel of food and then got up with a thunderous roar. After completing his ablutions, he kept asking, "How far is Jagannath Puri? How far is Jagannath Swami?" Mukunda quickly started to sing. The Lord began to dance. The pious residents of Chhatrabhog had a rare treat. They saw the Supreme Lord, the hero of Vaikuntha, dancing before them. As he danced, he manifested one ecstatic symptom after another, crying, shivering, roaring, perspiring profusely, becoming statue-like, and so on. Who could perceive the many subtle spiritual transformations that he experienced as he spun around and around? Tears gushed from his eyes, drenching everyone like the rushing currents of the Ganga in a monsoon state. Who but Lord Chaitanya, the incarnation of love of Godhead, has the potency to exhibit such pastimes? Toward morning, the Lord calmed himself and sat down. The night had passed as swiftly as a few moments. Everyone was delivered by the Lord's causeless mercy. At this opportune moment, Ramachandra Khan spoke, "My Lord, the boats are ready for you." The Lord immediately got up and went to the riverbank. Getting onto the boat, he glanced benignly at everyone. The boat then set out for Jagannath Puri, his own abode. Ordered by the Lord, Mukunda began to sing as the boat moved silently in the still night. The boatman, a simple and illiterate person, said, "This singing is making me very fearful. I will surely lose my life tonight. On land, the tigers will maul us, and the water is infested with crocodiles. This part of the river is terrorized by bands of dacoits, who, if they catch us, will forcibly take both our wealth and our lives. So please, remain quiet until we reach Orissa." The devotees were confused, but the Lord remained absorbed in spiritual mellows. Suddenly, in a voice like thunder, he said, "What do you fear? Who are you afraid of?" "The Sudarshan Chakra, the lethal disc of the Supreme Lord that protects the Vaishnavas at all times from every danger, is here. Just look around you. Give up your trepidation and continue Krishna Kirtan." The Lord's reassuring words had a miraculous effect on the devotees, and they began to sing with renewed gusto. Taking advantage of the situation, the Lord instructed the devotees, "The Sudarshan Chakra is always present to protect the devotees of the Lord. It destroys any inimical and atheistic forces which try to harass the devotees. Who could possibly harm the Vaishnavas when they have the invincible protection of Lord Vishnu's own weapon? Only those who have received the Lord's mercy can fathom the meaning of these confidential instructions." Soon the boat reached Orissa. The devotees had performed kirtan the entire way. The boat stopped at the port called Prayag Ghat, and Lord Chaitanya got off. Hearing this narration of the Lord's entering Orissa brings one closer to spiritual perfection. The Lord was extremely joyful having placed his lotus feet on the soil of Orissa. He offered his obeisances, and the devotees did the same. In that area is a well-known bathing ghat called Ganga Ghat. After taking his bath there, the Lord went to offer obeisances to a Shivalinga deity known as Mahesh. This deity was established next to the bathing place by King Yudhisthira of the Pandavas. The Lord brought the devotees to a temple, and requesting them to wait there, he went away to beg alms. The Lord went door to door with his cloth spread out to receive alms. At each house, the people were captivated by his magnanimous appearance and immediately offered him something. With great pleasure, they gave him whatever was available in the household. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune and the giver of all foodstuff and opulence, is always praying to receive shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. That same Supreme Personality was now knocking on every door in the guise of a sannyasi begging alms, only to benedict the conditioned souls. The Lord returned to the devotees after collecting alms, feeling content. The devotees began to laugh, seeing what the Lord had begged, and said, "The Lord can certainly maintain us." Jagannanda Pandit eagerly prepared the food. The Lord sat down with all the devotees and ate. They passed the night in that village performing Krishna Kirtan. At dawn, they were again on the road, walking towards Puri. After traveling a few miles, they were suddenly stopped by persons demanding tax, refusing right-of-way to the devotees unless they paid. But when the tax collectors saw the grave and imposing figure of the Lord, they were impressed. They inquired, "How many men are with you?" The Lord replied, "I do not have anyone in this world, and I do not belong to anyone. I am all alone. The entire world is mine." Saying this, the Lord began shedding incessant tears. The taxman said, "O Master, you may leave, but I will not release the others until I have received full payment from them." The Lord left the group of devotees, remembering Lord Krishna and chanting his holy names. Thinking the Lord had left them, the devotees were plunged into an abyss of despondency. After some consideration, they began to laugh at how the Lord had displayed wonderful impartiality, but the next moment they were again despairing, worried that the Lord would leave them altogether. Nityananda Prabhu pacified them, saying, "Do not worry, the Lord will not leave us behind." The tax man said, "You are not with that sannyasi, so you must pay the proper charges." After going a short distance, the Lord sat down with his head hanging and began to cry. Even a heart of stone would melt seeing the Lord weeping so piteously. The tax man was filled with wonder. He said, "He is certainly not an ordinary soul. It is impossible for a human being to shed so many tears." Looking again carefully at everyone, he inquired from several devotees, "Tell me clearly who you are. Whose associates are you?" They replied, "That sannyasi is our master. You must have heard of him. His name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. We are his servitors." Saying this, the devotees broke down in tears of divine love for their Lord. The taxman was now dumbfounded. Being infused by their mood and purified by their association, he also began to cry, with tears streaming down his cheeks. He hastened toward the sitting figure of the Lord and threw himself down on the ground like a rod before his lotus feet. Very humbly he said, "The great fortune to see you is the result of pious activities in many millions of lifetimes. Kindly forgive me for my offenses at your feet. I pray that you may arrive safely in Nilachala." Lord Chaitanya blessed the taxman and continued his journey. The Supreme Lord appeared as Lord Chaitanya to deliver all living entities. Only the atheistic sinners, who are inimical towards the Vaishnavas and addicted to performing the most abominable activities, are deprived of the Lord's mercy. Lord Chaitanya's name is so potent that even the demons have a change of heart by chanting it. Yet devilish reprobates neither accept this mercy nor have faith in its powers. The Lord of Vaikuntha showered his merciful glances on everyone as he proceeded to Nilachala. He was always drinking deeply of the endless nectarian ocean of loving mellows of Lord Krishna. One day he arrived on the banks of the river Subarnaka. The Lord and the devotees bathed in its crystal clear waters, thus sanctifying it, and then continued their journey. Somehow, Nityananda Prabhu and Jagannatha Pandit had fallen back a distance from the rest of the group. Lord Chaitanya decided to sit down and wait for them to catch up. Nityananda Prabhu was always engrossed in deep meditation on Lord Chaitanya. This loving mellow made him act intoxicated and mad. Sometimes he cried loudly, almost wailing, then suddenly would begin to roar in an ear-splitting voice, then again abruptly start to laugh. When he saw a river or stream, he would plunge into the water and swim for a long time. At times he covered his body with dust. He would sometimes swoon in ecstasy, falling to the ground so hard that people were afraid that all his bones were shattered. When he danced by himself, it seemed that the earth was tilting off balance. This sort of behavior was not unnatural for Lord Nityananda. Lord Ananta Shesh is his partial expansion, and Lord Chaitanya resides eternally in his heart. Jagannatha Pandit wanted to go and beg food from the village, so he decided to leave the Lord's danda behind. He was assigned by the Lord to carry his sannyas staff on the journey. Jagannatha left the danda with Lord Nityananda, saying, "Look after this very carefully while I am gone." Nityananda Prabhu, who was always meditating on Lord Chaitanya, took the danda and sat down. Holding the danda in one hand, he started laughing and began to speak to it. He said, "O danda, where is the logic in you being carried by that personality whom I bear in my heart?" Speaking these words, Nityananda Prabhu, who is Lord Balaram, got up and smashed the danda to the ground, breaking it into three pieces. The Supreme Lord alone knows his own mind. How can I know why Nityananda Balaram broke the danda? Nityananda Prabhu also intimately knows the mind of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya fully understands his. They are brothers eternally, and they appear together in every millennium. Ram and Lakshman knew each other's hearts deeply. They are one and the same Supreme Lord. They have separated only to teach and enhance the loving mellows of devotional service. I am able to know Lord Chaitanya and his pastimes only by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Who other than Lord Balaram himself would have the power to smash the Lord's danda? Actually, it is Lord Chaitanya, the supreme teacher, who teaches in many subtle ways. One who understands this essential truth enjoys blissful devotional life. When Jagannatha Pandit returned, he found Nityananda sitting with the three broken pieces of the danda lying next to him. He was startled at first, but soon he began to worry. He inquired from Nityananda, "Who broke the danda?" Nityananda replied, "The one who took the danda in the first place. The Lord himself has broken his own danda. Who else could do such a thing?" Jagannanda picked up the broken pieces of the danda and walked away without replying. Jagannanda went directly to Lord Chaitanya. He threw the broken pieces of the danda in front of him. The Lord looked up and asked, "How was the danda smashed like this? Did you get in a fight? Tell me what happened." Jagannanda narrated everything as he had seen it. He said, "Nityananda, who was always wrapped in meditation, has done this." Lord Chaitanya turned to Nityananda and inquired, "What was your reason for smashing my danda?" Nityananda Prabhu retorted, "They were just some bamboo sticks that I broke, and if you cannot forgive me for this, then punish me as you wish." The Lord replied, "A danda is the residence of all the demigods, and you minimize its importance by calling it some bamboo poles?" Who can comprehend the esoteric pastimes of Lord Chaitanya? He never speaks what is in his mind. Rather, he says something quite different. Anyone who falsely claims to know the Lord's mind is certainly ignorant and a cheat. If the Lord decides to destroy someone, he will treat him affably on meeting him, but he shows himself to be impartial to devotees who are as dear to him as his own soul. These moods and pastimes of the Lord are inconceivable. Hence, only those who are blessed by the Lord's mercy can perceive their true nature. The danda was broken by the Lord's own desire, yet now he was showing his anger. He said, "I had only my danda as a companion, but now that has been broken by Krishna's will. Now I am alone. All of you go ahead, and I will follow behind." Though no one dared to dispute Lord Chaitanya's decision, the devotees were very concerned about the matter. Mukunda intervened and said, "You go ahead of us, my lord, for we must stay back to do some work." The Lord agreed politely and walked away like a life-mad lion. Lord Chaitanya soon arrived in Jaleshwar village. He went directly to the temple of Lord Shiva, the principal deity in that village. The Shiva Linga deity was looked after nicely by some local Brahmin priests. The floral decorations in the temple and on the deity were attractive, and the smell of incense permeated the air, giving the place an exhilarating devotional mood. Devotees in the temple were singing, playing musical instruments, and dancing. The Lord's anger subsided in that joyful atmosphere. He let the loving devotional feelings in his heart flow and mingle with the music. Enlivened by his dear devotees, Lord Shiva's opulence and influence in the temple, the Lord began to dance happily. Lord Chaitanya knows the glorious character of Lord Shiva, for he is one of his favorite devotees. One who disrespects Lord Shiva, not following the example of Lord Chaitanya, cannot be considered a Vaishnav, and all of his spiritual advancement is nullified. As the Lord danced, he expressed his jubilation so loudly that the mountains seemed to tremble. Lord Shiva's devotees were amazed and thought that Lord Shiva must have appeared in person. The musicians and singers again reached a crescendo, and the Lord became fully absorbed in dancing, losing all contact with the outside world. Meanwhile, his devotees arrived. Mukunda began to sing, joined by the others. Seeing his beloved associates, the Lord was overjoyed and even danced more vigorously. The devotees began to dance around him. Tears flowed in 100 streams from the Lord's eyes. Who is capable of properly describing this marvelous scene? The temple of Lord Shiva was sanctified by the Lord's presence and dancing. The real purpose for which it was built was now fulfilled. After a while, the Lord became peaceful and embraced all the devotees with great love, giving them divine pleasure. Upon seeing Nityananda Prabhu, the Lord rushed to embrace him. Holding him firmly, he said, "Your duty is to calm me down and restrain me and help me maintain my sannyas vows. But instead, you are increasing my madness. If you continue in this way, you can soon have my head also. I am openly declaring that I will always do whatever you want me to." The Lord then instructed everyone, "Be very careful with Nityananda Prabhu. His position is much more elevated than mine. This is not an exaggeration. It is the simple truth. Anyone who commits an offense at his lotus feet, even though he has not offended me directly, is refused entry into the more confidential devotional service of the Lord. An offender against Nityananda may be situated in devotional service, hence is considered by some as a devotee, but he is rejected by me." Hearing this praise of himself, Nityananda Prabhu bashfully hung his head. All of the Lord's pastimes are wonderful, and they bring much pleasure to the devotees. After passing that night in Jaleshwar, the Lord resumed his journey at early dawn, accompanied by all the devotees. On the way to Bansdaha, he was stopped by a Shakta sannyasi, one who worships the energy of the Lord in the position of the Lord himself. The Lord knew that the stranger was a Shakta, but spoke to him with sweet words. The Lord said, "Please tell me, my friend, where have you been for so long that I am only now meeting you? Where are your friends?" Captivated by the Lord, the Shakta slowly began revealing everything about himself and the other Shaktas. Lord Chaitanya smiled as he listened to him. The Shakta invited the Lord to his so-called monastery, saying, "Please come now to my mat, and we can all enjoy the bliss drink together." The Shakta was referring to an alcoholic drink as bliss, and this amused Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu. The Lord replied, "I will definitely come to enjoy your bliss drink. You should go ahead to prepare everything for our arrival." Pleased that his invitation had been accepted, he left quickly, feeling elated. How fathomless is the Lord's character! The Vedas declare that Lord Krishna is the friend and deliverer of the poor and wretched. Hence the Lord spoke so amiably to the Shakta sannyasi. People began to say, "This Shakta has been delivered, and by contact with him other Shaktas will also become purified." The Lord uses various means to liberate the conditioned souls. Lord Chaitanya arrived at Ramona village, where there is a deity of Lord Gopinath. Upon seeing himself in the deity form, the Lord began to dance ecstatically with all his devotees. Lost in love of himself, he became oblivious to everything. He wept piteously in loving separation from himself. Even the cruelest hearts melted hearing him cry. After a few days, Lord Gaurasundar came to Jaipur village and stayed in a quarter called Brahman Nagara. There he visited the temple of Lord Adivaraha. This deity is unique and was self-manifested. By seeing this deity, all material entanglements are severed. The temple was situated on the bank of the river Vaitarini. Just by seeing this river, one is cleansed of all sins. This entire area is a very holy pilgrimage site. Even an animal which crosses the river at this spot is seen by the demigods in a four-handed Vaikuntha form. Neelachala Puri is exactly 80 miles away from this spot, known as Nabigai or Viraja Chaitra. This entire area is dotted with many temples. It is impossible to describe all of them in detail. The Lord first went with the devotees to bathe in the river at the bathing place named Dashashvamedha Ghat. Then they went to worship Lord Varaha. The Lord danced ecstatically in front of Adi Varaha Dev, and the devotees sang, creating a wonderful, devotionally saturated atmosphere. The Lord was very happy to be in Jaipur. His happiness increased with time, and he danced more vigorously. Suddenly, without warning, Lord Chaitanya disappeared. It is difficult to know the Lord's desire and the reason for his actions. When the devotees noticed that Lord Chaitanya was missing, they began to look around the temple in desperation. When their search proved futile, they became very worried. Nityananda Prabhu, realizing the plight of the devotees, said, "Please calm yourselves. I am certain I know where the Lord has gone. He wants to visit all the temples and holy places in Jaipur alone. So we should go out begging and then return to this spot. We will spend the night here, for the Lord is sure to return tomorrow morning." The devotees went out and collected food. When they returned, they cooked the food, received as alms, and ate together. In the meantime, Lord Chaitanya had visited the different temples and returned to the devotees. They were jubilant and greeted him with loud chanting of Hari, Hari. In this way, the Lord blessed Jaipur with his presence and then continued his journey. After a few days, the Lord arrived in Cuttack city. From there, he went to bathe in the river Mahanadi. He then went to the temple of Shakshi Gopal to worship him. The charming, unsurpassable beauty of the deity of Shakshi Gopal greatly impressed Lord Chaitanya, and filled with ecstasy, he began to roar in a thunderous voice. He offered many prayers and exhibited wonderful devotional symptoms, crying in ecstasy for the Lord. The authorized procedure to invoke life into the deity is chanting the Maha Mantra. This Maha Mantra was propagated by Lord Chaitanya. And although he is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he always exhibited the mood of servitorship to the Supreme Lord. Lord Chaitanya next went to Bhuvaneshwar. This city is actually the hidden Kashi, the residence of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva had collected water from all the different holy places and brought it to Bhuvaneshwar, where he formed with it the lake known as Bindu Sarovara. Lord Chaitanya knew the significance of the lake and knew that it is Lord Shiva's favorite. He bathed in it, further increasing its auspiciousness. The linga form of Lord Shiva worshipped there was self-manifest. Lord Chaitanya went to see the linga and mingled with the crowd of Lord Shiva's devotees who were chanting loud praises of him. The linga was surrounded by small lit ghee lamps offered by the visiting devotees. Lord Chaitanya was pleased to see the opulence of his beloved devotee, Lord Shiva. The Lord's associates were also very happy in that devotional atmosphere. Lord Shiva is always immersed in meditation on the Supreme Lord, and relishing the nectar of devotion, he cannot keep from dancing. That Supreme Lord, Gaurachandra, his master, was dancing ecstatically in front of him. The Lord and his devotees spent the night there. I will now relate the story from the Skanda Purana of how Lord Shiva found this place. Lord Shiva and his consort, Parvati Devi, were living contentedly in Kashi for a very long time. Then they went to Kailas and left Kashi to be ruled by kings. Soon a king named Kashiraj ascended the throne. He was an ardent worshipper of Lord Shiva. Suddenly, by the will of destiny, he lost everything in a war. As a result of this, he became determined to destroy his conqueror, Sri Krishna. With vengeance in his heart, he sat down to perform the most terrible of austerities, meditating on Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, attracted by his austerities, appeared before him and offered him any boon he desired. Kashiraj eagerly requested, "I pray for only this boon from you, my lord, that I may avenge my defeat and destroy Krishna in battle." Lord Shiva is a magnanimous personality. No one can say how he will benedict someone. He said to Kashiraj, "O king, prepare for battle. My army will be right behind you on the field. No one is strong enough to defeat you as long as I am behind you with my weapon, Pashupati." Reassured by Shiva's words, the foolish King Kashiraj went to battle against Krishna, smiling confidently. Lord Shiva, accompanied by his associates, followed the army of Kashiraj. His intention was to fight for the king. Krishna, the Supersoul situated within everyone's heart, knew immediately what was happening. He swiftly sent his disc weapon, Sudarshan, to destroy the enemy. The Lord Sudarshan disc is invincible, so it went unchallenged straight to Kashiraj and severed his head from his body. Then Sudarshan started destroying the city of Varanasi, the capital of Kashiraj. This enraged Lord Shiva. Seeing that his abode was being plundered, he released his terrible Pasupati weapon. But what can any other weapon, however powerful, do against Sudarshan? The Pasupati weapon quickly retreated in fear. Sudarshan then went after Lord Shiva himself. He fled from the awesome weapon. The heat from the Sudarshan disc covered the whole world, and Shiva had no place to hide. He found himself in the same predicament as the sage Durvas when he was being chased by the fearsome weapon. Lord Shiva finally understood that he was being pursued by the Sudarshan disc and that only Lord Krishna could help him solve this dilemma. Then, making his decision, he remembered Lord Krishna and took shelter at his lotus feet. He began to offer prayers to the Lord. "All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Devaki. You are omnipresent and the shelter of all living entities. You give men both good intelligence and ill motivations. You are the creator, maintainer, and protector of everything. You never see the faults of others, and you are an ocean of compassion. You are the only well-wishing friend of all those who are suffering. You are the forgiver of all offenses, so kindly forgive my offenses now that I have taken shelter of you." Lord Krishna, being appeased by Lord Shiva's prayers, called off his Sudarshan disc and appeared before him. Lord Shiva saw that he was faintly smiling, although his eyes were still stern. He was surrounded by his cowherd boyfriends and Vrindavan damsels. Krishna said, O Shiva, you are well aware of my position and power, so what prompted you to act in this foolish fashion? That degraded king, Kasiraj, is no better than a little insect, and siding with him means fighting with me. Now you have seen the fearsome might of my Sudarshan disc, which not even you could counter. All the most powerful weapons, like Brahmastra and Pasupati Astra, put together are no match for Sudarshan. The unique power of the Sudarshan disc is to seek after one who sends counter weapons. Now I am feeling that there is no one in the entire creation who dislikes me more than you. Hearing these somewhat angry words of chastisement, Lord Shiva felt trepidation within. He threw himself to the ground and caught hold of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Surrendering himself to the Lord, Shiva said, O Lord, the entire creation is subservient to your will. Who can claim to act independently? Just as dry straws are strewn by the wind, the entire material nature bends to your commands. Everyone executes your wishes. There is no one who can disobey your bidding. For some reason, you have given me this feeling of false pride, and blinded by it, I was unable to see anything except myself as big and powerful. I am helpless, my lord. It is you who have made me think in this manner. Your lotus feet have always been my life and soul. I stayed in the forest and meditated solely on them. Yet you churn this mood of arrogance within me. What could I do? I simply acted as you desired. In spite of this, I have committed serious offenses at your feet. So now, kindly forgive me and bless me with your mercy. I pray for the boon that I may never again develop such evil intelligence. I have been rightly punished for my arrogance. Now kindly tell me where I can stay, for who else but you can I turn to with my problems? Smiling slightly, Lord Krishna kindly said, My dear Shiva, I am giving you a very beautiful place to stay. Live here with all your associates and followers, in this idyllic place known as Ekamraka Van. You will appear and be worshipped as Kotiti Geshvara. This place is in every way as captivating as Varanasi. It is also extremely spiritually elevated, but this is not known to everyone. Today I will reveal to you the esoteric significance of this place which is so dear to me. On the shore of the ocean, covering a very large area, is the place known as Nilachala, which is also known as Purushottama Kshetra, or the abode of the Supreme Person. It has a most pleasing and peaceful atmosphere. Even at the time of the cosmic annihilation, this place remains intact, unscathed. I reside there eternally, and daily receive opulent offerings of foodstuffs. The area of Nilachala is over 80 square miles. All entities living within this area, by the influence of this place, possess four-armed forms, which are visible only to the demigods and their equals. The demigods glorify this place as the most auspicious of all places of pilgrimage. Sleeping there is equivalent to deep meditation or samadhi. Similarly, lying down there accrues the pious result of offering obeisances to the deity. Simply walking around there is the same as circumambulation, pradikshina, and all speech is glorification of me. All this is described in the Vedas. Such is the potency of this kshetra that even if one eats fish here, it is the same as eating sacred vegetarian food, or havisha. This place is very dear to me, hence it is known by my name. All of the residents are my equals. It is outside the jurisdiction of Yamaraj, the guardian of death. Here it is I who judge evil and pious deeds and determine their reactions. The place I have designated as your residence lies north of my abode, Puri. Your place is, as I have described before, very beautiful and charming. Here one can very easily attain liberation and bliss. This place will be famous as Bhuvaneshwar. The glories of Jagannath Puri greatly impressed Lord Shiva. He again embraced the Lord's lotus feet and began to speak, O Lord of my life, I have only one prayer. I am always falsely proud. Therefore, to remain far away from your association is very detrimental for me. I yearn to stay close to you, because I never benefit from bad association. If you consider me your servant, then kindly allow me a place in your own abode. After hearing the wonderful glories of your Dham from your lotus lips, I am feeling an uncontrollable urge to live there. Living very humbly, I want to render menial service to you. All I pray for is a little space in your Dham. His voice choked with emotion, and tears coursed down his cheeks. The Lord was very pleased with Shiva's words, and he embraced him firmly, saying, O Shiva, you are as precious to me as my own body. One who is dear to you is even more dear to me. I reside always within you, there is no doubt about this. I allow you to stay in all of my abodes. In fact, you are the protector and maintainer of all the Dhams. I am giving you this place known as Ekam Ravan. Stay here and make it your home. This place is also my favorite. I will be pleased if you stay here always. One who claims to be my devotee but disregards you only feigns devotion to me. This is how Lord Shiva came to reside in this famous place, Bhuvaneshwar. It is still existing today. In order to teach everyone that Lord Shiva is very dear to Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya danced in front of him. The Lord was practically demonstrating how to follow all the instructions of Lord Krishna, which are found in the Puranas and other Vedic scriptures. Clapping his hands, he danced and sang, Shiva Ram Govinda. The Lord, with all his devotees, then worshipped Lord Shiva. The Supreme Lord is the supreme instructing spiritual master. One who does not follow his instructions suffers due to this grievous mistake. The Lord took his disciples and went around Bhuvaneshwar visiting different temples of Lord Shiva. He was particularly happy to see one Shiva Linga, which was off the beaten track. When he left Bhuvaneshwar, he traveled to Kamalapur village, feeling very elated all the way there. From Kamalapur, the Lord, looking in the direction of Puri, could see the flags fluttering atop the Jagannath temple. His heart flooded with spiritual emotions, drowning him in an ocean of ecstatic bliss. He cried out in a voice like thunder. The transformation in his mood was amazing. He began to shiver and then became sluggish, unable to move. His eyes were fixed on the temple spires, and he stumbled along reciting Sanskrit verses. Take careful note of this verse. He said, Just see how the cowherd boy Krishna, seeing me, is shyly smiling from the top of the temple, thus increasing the extraordinary beauty of his face. He repeated this verse over and over as he stumbled along, swooning with each step. Words were inadequate to describe the force with which he fell to the ground and the intensity of the feelings experienced by him. The Lord moved forward by offering full obeisances on the ground. Thus, instead of walking, he fell like a stick and then stood up at a distance measured by the length of his body. He stood up, looked at the temple spires, chanted the verse, and fell crashing to the ground. People all around stared at him in complete awe and amazement. No one else could have done this. It was possible for the Lord because he was the divine incarnation of supreme spiritual love. The whole way to Puri, he exhibited the apex of divine love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How fortunate were the souls who lined up on the roads to see the Supreme Lord, who was lost in ecstasy. They said, Certainly, he must be the Supreme Lord, Narayan himself. The devotees moved along with their Lord surrounding him on all sides, their freely flowing tears of ecstasy soaking the earth. It usually takes an hour and a half to walk from Kamalapur to Ataranala, but the Lord took many times that long. When he came to Artanala, he withdrew all his ecstatic feelings within himself. He became equipoised and sat down with all the devotees. He spoke entreatingly to them, saying, You have been genuine, well-wishing friends to me, having brought me to Lord Jagannath. Now kindly tell me whether I should go after you, or if I'm allowed to go ahead of you alone. Mukunda replied, You go ahead of us. The Lord left their company and walked towards the temple of Lord Jagannath. His gait was regal, like the maddened king of the forest. With quickening steps, he entered the temple of Lord Jagannath. Whoever hears this narration of the Lord's entering Nilachala Puri will be carried on waves of ecstatic bliss. By the will of the Supreme Lord, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya arrived at the same time to see and worship Lord Jagannath in the temple. Standing in front of the deities of Lord Jagannath, Subhadra, and Sankarshan, Balaram, Lord Chaitanya began to roar like the booming of ocean waves. He was yearning to embrace Lord Jagannath. He jumped and danced as his spiritual emotions became ebullient, sprinkling tears all around. Suddenly he fell crashing to the ground, swooning with uncontrollable bliss. How can one fathom such moods of the Supreme Lord? The ignorant and foolish interior guards of the temple, thinking the Lord was misbehaving, immediately prepared to punish him and beat him. Just then, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya rushed to the supine form of the Lord and stopped the guards from striking him. Seeing the unconscious body, he thought, "Observing his symptoms, I think this person is not a human being. It is impossible for anyone to call out so loudly, shedding such incessant tears. This is all very extraordinary. Maybe he is Krishna Chaitanya." Such were the thoughts which flitted through the mind of the blessed Sarvabhauma. The temple guards were warded off by Sarvabhauma and now stood at a distance looking on with fear and reverence. Lord Chaitanya lay almost unconscious, overcome with ecstasy upon seeing his own self on the altar. The Vedas are inadequate to describe such esoteric transformations of the Supreme Lord. Lord Gaurasundara, the Supreme Lord, was sitting on the altar in his Chaturvyuha expansions, feeling content. The self-same Lord had become a devotee, rendering service to himself. The Lord knows these transcendental mysteries about himself. This is delineated in the Vedas and Bhagavat. The Vedas always describe the Lord's pastimes only with the good intention of delivering the conditioned souls. Sarvabhauma remained waiting patiently, protecting the Lord from any harm. The Lord still remained deeply immersed in love of Godhead in the mood of a devotee, oblivious to the external world. Finally, Sarvabhauma decided to take the Lord to his own house. He spoke to the sentries, "Please carry this jewel amongst saints and follow me." The sentries lifted the still unconscious form of the Lord on their shoulders and carried him out. Sarvabhauma's arrival in the temple at the same time as the Lord's transcendental ecstasy was not a coincidence. The Lord's character is incomprehensible to humans. They don't know how such events take place. Once outside the temple, they carried the Lord amidst thunderous chanting. The large crowd which had gathered was very jubilant. Just then, the rest of the devotees from the Lord's party arrived and saw their Lord being carried out in front of the Sima Dwar. They became very joyful seeing their beloved Lord. Everyone in the crowd wanted a chance to carry the Lord, so he was passed from hand to hand as a piece of foodstuff is passed down a long line of ants. The devotees offered their obeisances to the Lord and joined the flowing mass of jubilant people. So many people had come to carry the Lord that when they arrived at Sarvabhauma's house, the doors had to be closed to keep the huge crowd outside. Sarvabhauma was extremely pleased to see the associates of the Lord. He received them with proper respect and etiquette, seating them comfortably. By now, his doubts about the Lord's identity were allayed. He was feeling elated beyond words. How very fortunate he was! That personality, so eloquently and repeatedly glorified in the Vedic literature, was now present in his house. When he saw the radiant Lord Nityananda, he fell to the ground, smearing his head with the dust from his lotus feet. Then he called some of his men and asked them to accompany the Lord's associates to the temple of Lord Jagannath. At first their guides were hesitant, but then thinking it was better to be frank, they implored the devotees with folded hands, "Please be calm and composed in front of the deities of Lord Jagannath. Do not act like your guru did a while ago. We do not know who you are, but if you give your word to remain equipoised in the temple, we are willing to accompany you. We are sure that it was only by God's will that Lord Jagannath remained on his altar after the way your guru behaved. There is no need to elaborate further on the subject, because all of you saw how he crashed to the ground. Anyone else would have died on the spot. This is all inconceivable to us. Therefore, we request you to remain composed." The devotees began to laugh, but they assured their guides that they would behave normally. The devotees went inside the temple and beheld Lord Jagannath, who is the source of the quadruple expansions of Chaturvyuha. He is the Lord of the universe, and he manifested himself as the source of all bliss, who is always with his devotees. The devotees exulted in his presence, shed tears of ecstasy, and circumambulated him, all the time glorifying him with Vedic prayers. The priest brought them the Lord's flower garlands, prasad, and mala and placed them around their necks. The devotees were very happy, and begging permission from the priests to leave, they returned to Sarvabhauma's house. Lord Chaitanya was still deeply absorbed within himself in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. Sarvabhauma was sitting at his feet, and the rest of the people were loudly chanting, "Ram, Krishna." The Lord's activities are all inconceivable. He was in a state of unconsciousness for more than 9 hours continuously. Then gradually he regained consciousness. And when he was fully awake, the devotees greeted him, jubilantly chanting the holy names. Composing himself, the Lord asked, "Please describe to me exactly what has transpired." The devotees were silent. At last, Lord Nityananda spoke. "You went to see Lord Jagannath in the temple, and as soon as you saw the deity, you fell swooning in ecstasy. By the will of Providence, Sarvabhauma was there at that moment, and he took care of you and brought you to his house. You have been totally absorbed in ecstasy for the past 9 hours. Here is Sarvabhauma offering obeisances to you." Lord Chaitanya quickly got up and embraced him. The Lord spoke to Sarvabhauma, "Lord Jagannath is very merciful. He has brought me to your house. I was wondering how to contact you and have your association, and Lord Krishna has easily fulfilled my desire." The Lord looked benignly at Sarvabhauma and smiled. He continued to speak, "I went to the temple to see Lord Jagannath. Upon seeing him, I felt an intense desire to embrace him and hold him to my heart. I began to rush towards him, but I do not know what happened after that. Luckily, Sarvabhauma was nearby, and I was saved from serious danger. Therefore, I firmly declare that from today I will see Lord Jagannath only from a distance and will not enter the inner sanctum. I will stand next to the pillar of Garuda and see the Lord. I am fortunate today that I avoided a dangerous situation by not embracing the Lord." Nityananda Prabhu said, "You certainly averted a possible mishap. Now it is late. You should quickly bathe." Lord Chaitanya replied, "Nityananda, you should always correct me and steady me. I place this body of mine totally in your care." Feeling refreshed after completing his bath and other rituals, the Lord went and sat with the devotees, a sweet smile faintly playing on his lips. Sarvabhauma had arranged for a lot of Mahaprasad, which was brought in and placed before the Lord. The Lord offered his prayer of thanks for the opulent Mahaprasad and sat down to honor it with all the devotees. The Lord said, "Give me as much as possible of the latra preparation, and you can take all the pita, cheese dumplings, and other sweets." The Lord very much relished the transcendental taste of Mahaprasad. He ate his latra with the greatest pleasure, and the devotees enjoyed this simple, spiritually saturated pastime. They laughed with boyish joy. Sarvabhauma, who had arranged this feast, was certainly an eternal associate of the Lord. Otherwise, he could not have had such rare good fortune. He brought rice for the Lord on a golden plate and gave it to him. The Lord immediately ate the rice. The scene was so transcendentally exhilarating that I am unable to describe all the details, which will therefore later be delineated by Vedavyas. After the meal, the devotees sat around their Lord. The meal had been a treat for all in every respect. Anyone who hears these transcendental pastimes with devotion will indeed be blessed with Lord Chaitanya's direct association. Anyone who hears the narration in the Antya Lila of Lord Chaitanya's arrival in Neelachala will swim in an ocean of devotional love. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu are my life and soul. I, Vrindavan Das, humbly offer this song at their lotus feet.